Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. I do apologize. That was some music that was already pre-recorded. And thank you so much for joining us here. You have joined us with Breaking the Silence with yours truly, Pastor Katie Pierce and Hope Alliance, Inc. Amen. Hallelujah. So I just want to let this song minister to you before we go into our broadcast on tonight. So if you would just bear with me for a second.
Thank you.
Amen. And that's The Battle Is Yours by Yolanda Adams. And that was a song that kind of took me through during the days of my domestic violence and assisted me and helped me to get to that spiritual plateau that I needed to get to. And so I hope that that was a blessing to you. And if you're in our listening audience and you're going through domestic violence and trying to figure out how to get out of that situation, or you're waiting on God to show you what direction you need to go into, I would just admonish you to pull that up and let it begin to minister to you and to begin to heal wounds and hurts that you need healed in your life. So let's open with the word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, as we just release the battle over to you, O Lord God, as we release what we're going through in our lives, O Lord God, no matter what it may look like, perhaps it's not even domestic violence, O Lord God, but there are situations and circumstances that seem to be coming up on us and overtaking us, O Lord God. But God, we just release those battles unto you, O Lord God, and we pray now, O Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would just come in, O God, and make your abode in us, O Lord God. You said if we draw nigh unto you, you would draw nigh unto us, oh Father. So I pray in tonight's episode, God, that you would begin to draw nigh, God. I pray on tonight, oh Lord God, that you would anoint my voice, anoint the very words that you have given unto me, God, that they will fall on the ears that is needed, oh God, and give somebody encouragement to go through, God, to make it, oh Lord God, to hold on, to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain. In Jesus' name, I pray and count this prayer as done by faith. It is so, and so it is. Well, on tonight, I just begin to ask the Lord how I could give a little part of my testimony of dealing with domestic violence and be a help and assistance to you. And what I've come to understand sometimes in testimonies, we give more adoration, or we lift up more of the pain aspect of it than we do giving glory to God. And I do want this soul to be a testimony where God will be glorified, and that you can begin to understand that no matter where you going through or wherever you are in life situation, that God is in the midst of it. He promised in his words that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And so I wanted to just begin to kind of go over some of my own hurt, pain, and how God brought me out of that thing. And I do, as I was writing on today, I just kept writing and kept writing. And there's been so many people who have prophetically spoken into my life that there's a book in me. And so as I was writing, and I kept rewriting and kept saying, what parts of it do you want them to hear tonight? I can now see that there is a book in me. And so as I was writing or beginning to lay before the Lord about this thing, he began to give me the topic of a battered beauty, a battered beauty. And so that's how I want to come to you on tonight with the aspects of a battered beauty, my story, my testimony. Amen. So I'm going to start with who would have thought that going through domestic violence would bring praise to God? Who would have thought that? And I know some of you right now are saying that is just not possible. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. Isaiah 45 and 7. God says, I form light and I create disaster. Everything that happens to us in our life, God already knows about it. He already predestined it to happen. He knew how you would come out of it. You know what I'm saying? So we have to begin to allow God to do what God is doing. The scripture that comes to mind is for me, as I was thinking about this on today, God says in Jeremiah 29 and 11, I know the plans and the thought I think towards you. God has a plan and a purpose for our life. And even when things come into our life that looks like it's disastrous, only God can take that very thing and turn it around and work it together for your good. And that's what happened to me. I married in 1993 to a young man. In fact, this young man was 14 years younger than me. He was wonderful, attentive, and just a joy to be around. The day after our wedding, there was an invasion of a body snatcher. Someone I didn't know had invaded my husband's body. He was short-fused, he was full of rage, and said things to me that crushed my being. This man struck fear in the very core of me. Where did he come from? He had never shown up before. Then he left. As quickly as he came, he was gone. And there, the man I know, the man I married, would appear. After the episode, he was even more attentive, cooking dinner, running my bath water. Oh, God, I would say, don't let this man leave. Don't let him leave. Don't let that other man show up ever again. But he did. He showed up more frequently and with more rage and with more anger. How did this happen to me? Me, a minister of the gospel. Me, the one who was a lead soloist at my church. Me, the tongue-talking prayer warrior. Me, the Sunday school teacher and the youth counselor. How did this happen to me? And I'm sure that there are some of you out there in our listening audience who can relate to this. This is where you start asking God, how could you let me marry this person? We begin to ask God, you know, what's really going on? How did I end up here? Why didn't you stop me? You know, why didn't you show me signs? And as I reflect and look back over the scene, there were signs. There were red flags all over the place, but I disregarded them. And now I'm in a position now of wanting to blame God. I'm in a position now where I want to be angry at God. But Psalms 18:6 says, in my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. And I found myself in the position of now, you know, praying before God because I've gotten through the angry stage of it. I'm angry. You know, I don't understand how I got in this position. You know, this merry-go-round, this roller coaster of a marriage. One day he was good. The next day he wasn't good. One day I was the most beautiful thing. The next day I was the most horrific thing he had ever seen. And so I began to cry out into the Lord. I can remember one instance where I sat in my floor in my room and cried out to God and was fasting. I had been fasting and saying, you know, God, I need you to show me. I need you to show me what is going on with this. What will you have me to do in this particular situation? With everything that was in me, I prayed. And understand that praying was something that I've always done. I mean, from a child on, if you were to talk to any of my sisters and brothers, you know, in my upbringing, they'll share with you the testimony of how even when I was little and was getting ready to be chastised by my parents, I would go into prayer. And so prayer, it was in my nature to pray. And it seems as if things, as I was praying, it seemed that things got worse instead of better for me. I was in my word more. I found this particular situation to push me to a point of getting in God's word, you know, studying the word. And I found, you know, fasting and praying and just getting before God, trying to see, God, what is it that you would have me to do? Because I didn't understand how a man who loved me so much and who, when he was very attentive, he was the most attentive, could turn into somebody who could be just as hard-pressed, angry, and mean on the flip side. So now my children are finding out what's going on. They became knowledgeable of the abuse and what I was going through. And I even saw that they were starting to feel some of the residual effects, not that he was whooping them or beating them or anything like that, but his anger, the rage, they knew, you know, the eggshell stage when it started getting tense around the house and everybody would be walking around in tension. These were the residual effects of the domestic violence that my children began to feel. And so I would pray harder. I would tell myself, pray harder, pray longer, fast longer, and act holier and all of the things that we go through. I must have done something wrong, so repent for a long time. You know, these types of things are what was going through my head during that time. But I began to asked God to heal my marriage. I just wanted God to heal my marriage, to incline his ear and to save me. And I kept feeling like, who keeps feeding this monster of rage? Who keeps feeding him? Where is it coming from? And it seems like the little insignificant things would set it off. Little insignificant nothings that you wouldn't believe. You'd be like, whoa, really? We going here from that? You know, and so as I'm writing this, though, as I was writing earlier today, God began to speak to me and began to say that they are labor pains. And what the Spirit of the Lord began to show me with labor pains was that labor pains come, and then you get a little release. And then they come, and you get a little release. And the longer the intervals, the harder the pain. The longer the intervals of the contractions, the harder the pain, and the more welcome the release, however short, when it relieves, it's more welcome. And that you don't realize that during the stages of labor, there is a lot happening in the unseen. Even in my domestic violence, in the time where it looked like, hallelujah, the pain was longer and it was harder, and I was enduring the more and the more, and the welcome relief of when he was in a good mood, you know, and how could I salvage that mood? And then the pain would come back, you know, and it would be more hard, and it would seem like it was more intense. But what God had to begin to get me to understand was that even during the times of labor pains, as a mother, even during those times when the pain is so intense, there are some things going on internally. And God began to say that there were some things that were going on in the spirit realm, some things that was happening behind the scenes to bring forth something that was going to be more excellent than any labor pain that I could have gone through. And so he was preparing me. He was preparing to bring forth a miracle. He was preparing to bring forth a jewel. He was preparing to bring something more excellent out of me, even in the midst of domestic violence. Please don't get it twisted. I don't want anybody to misinterpret what I'm saying. I'm just, in hindsight, God just is beginning to deal with me and show me how to everything there is a season, and to everything there is purpose, and that even in your situation of what looked to be the most horrific experience you could have had, God says, I was able to pull purpose out of that thing. My God, the glory. Okay. So God allowed me to endure it all. I didn't seek him before my marriage. And then I tried to find out if it was his will. Instead, I presented my will to God and asked him to bless it. You know, my husband and I, at that time, we dated, and we only dated for about 6 months. I had been in the church. I was in the Word. I was teaching Sunday school. I was doing everything. And so when he came along, and literally, you know, we dated, it was fast and furious. And then we got married 6 months after we had met. And then when this started happening, then I started asking God, you know, what went on? And God began to deal with me and take me back. He said, you didn't bring this to me and ask me if it was what I wanted. You went and got or received what you thought you wanted, and then you brought it to me and said, now, God, could you bless it? Come on, somebody. And that's not the way God wants us to do things. You know, we should seek him first. Seek ye first God, the kingdom of heaven, its righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Am I saying it was a horror, you know, that it was something that God didn't do? No, what I'm saying, that it's something that God took again, and he perfected it. He worked it together. He got purpose from it. But I would just like to, you know, warn those of you who you're dating somebody and you're moving along really, really fast and you haven't prayed, you haven't asked God to begin to show you that person, you haven't tried to get to know him. I'm not even trying to say that, you know, engagements or have to be something that's long year. I think people who've been engaged for 5 years and you still don't know whether you're getting married, that's another teaching. We're not going to go there. But I'm just saying that in your relationships, pray and ask God, because in hindsight, I began to look back over it and I could see the red flags. I could see what was going on, what I chose to ignore. I could see it. So don't ignore. Don't ignore the warning signs. And so the scripture, I am fearfully and wonderfully made in Psalms 139. It says, let me read a portion of that scripture for you. The scripture says, you have searched me, O Lord, and you know me. The 13th verse says, for you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. The 23rd verse says, search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. This was a particular time during my marriage where I had gotten over the blame game. I had gotten over, you know, saying that he was the problem. He was the one that was wrong. And I really began to seek God to search me. To search me. What's in me that's not right? I think at that time I read a book by Evelyn Christian, and the book was entitled Lord Change Me. You know, because we so oftentimes in our walk with Christ, we want to blame everything on everybody else, and we never want to really take a good look at ourselves. And so at this particular point in time in my marriage, and even though he was still the same, I really began to get in God's presence and ask God to show me me, because the Bible said that I am the light of the world, and that because I am light, that wherever darkness is, darkness should disperse. And I felt like that there was a dark side in my husband that I, the light of Christ, should have been able to permeate. I should have been able to break it. And so I began my own testimony. I began to get into God's word and begin to say, I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made, God, to search my heart. Begin to show me, God. Begin to reveal in me what's necessary, what needs to be taken away, you know. And so in my search for that, in my quest for that, I began to understand who I was in God. I began to understand and begin to look and allow God to do some things in me. Get into a place in my DV that I stopped blaming God. I confessed that this was a choice that I had made for him to be my husband, and that I trusted God enough to bring me out. I escaped in the Word of God. I found the Word of God, my prayer time, to not only just be a time to get before God's presence, but it was an escape time. It was a time for me to leave all of that, to step outside. It was my Calgon take me away moment. Amen. But I found it in God's word. And I received such revelation in my studies, even though the enemy would tell me that, you know, I shouldn't preach the word. I was called to ministry and would seek the word and would preach the gospel. And the enemy would tell me, you don't have a right to preach the gospel. You know, everybody knows now that you're going through abuse in your home. Everybody knows that your husband is being unfaithful to you. And, you know, how are you going to stand up there and preach to them? They don't want to hear what you have to say. But the anointing of hiding in God's word had such a power in me. It had such authority in me. That I would preach with such authority and I would preach with such power, only to get home again and go through the tumultuous relationship, only to get home and be back on that merry-go-round. Or, you know, I would say something in a sermon and he would say, I know that you were talking about me. Even though we had seen God display his power all through service, he would find that one thing in that sermon that wasn't, that he didn't like, and then that would lead to an argument, and then I would be back in there, and then again, I would escape into the Word of God. It reminds me of the 23rd Psalms. He says that, I will lead you beside the still waters, and I will restore. Hallelujah, God. I will restore your soul. Hallelujah. And that's what God's word did. He restored my soul. And so as I began to get in the word of God, as I began to allow God to restore me, to repair all of the hurts and all of the wounds that I had in my life, God did it. God began to do the exceedingly and the wonderful that I desired of him to do. And then I began to understand in my study of the word that the Lord God is Jehovah Ezer, E-Z-E-R, the Lord our helper. the Lord our helper. So I found this scripture where God says, I've given you power. Behold, I give you power and authority to trample on snakes and on scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy. I began to come into the knowledge that this spirit of rage was not my husband. I began to understand that it was a spirit that was sent by the enemy, and I began to study the word of God, and that's in Luke 10 and 19. I began to study the word of God. I started looking at deliverance books. I started going to deliverance class. I took a class that was called Pigs in the Parlor. That was the first deliverance class that I took. I began to go to John Eckhart's church on a Tuesday and get deliverance from myself, from my own wounds and pains and the things that I was carrying inside of me. It was just amazing, the power of God as he began to release. I started asking my husband if he wanted to go to John Eckhart's church to get some deliverance, getting the revelation through God's words that I had authority to speak and cast out devils. I was driven. I was driven with the effort to get my husband delivered and to get him set free. So that was when I again started taking classes. I took the altar worker class under Apostle Eckhart, and I invited my husband on a Tuesday to come in and go with me for night deliverance class. He was not at all receptive. He was never really receptive. And so what I would do was I would begin to pray over him. I would begin to anoint him in oil if he had gone out and gotten intoxicated and he came back in while he was sleeping. I would anoint him with oil. I would begin to pray. I would begin to cast out the devil and speak and let him know you have no authority and you have no place in him, you know, that he is the righteousness of God. I would just begin to speak. I started at that time Power of a Praying Wife. I bought that book and I began to usurp the authority and the power of God over my husband and begin to speak some things in his life. And he was delivered from drugs. He was delivered from crack cocaine and never went through a 12-step program. God delivered him and set him free and just began to do the things that God had assigned me to do. My life began to turn around. Things began there was a turnaround in the life for him as well as myself. Unbelievable things had happened. And this, again, is just a short excerpt of all the things that I endured. I wanted to make it so that you can understand that through God, the power of God, some things began to happen in his life. The physical abuse, gone. Physical abuse, gone. He got delivered, got set free. The verbal abuse was still somewhat there. We were still praying about some things. To this day, he is my ex-husband. We still talk. There got to be a point in my life where, you know, at first when we first got divorced, I had already set up in my mind that we would never be able to be friends because of the rage and the things. He was so volatile and how quick he could turn from loving to hate, that I felt that when we divorced it was going to turn to hate. And I had just resolved in my own mindset that we wouldn't be friends. But we are. We call. We can talk to each other. We know how to be cordial with each other. And we're divorced, but we're not divorced from the domestic violence aspect. That other thing is another book. And so, amen. But we know how to be cordial. And God did that. God did it for me. But in everything that I went through, even during that time, God worked it together for a purpose and for a plan. I took the hurt and the pain from that thing and began to reach out to other people who were going through domestic violence, because there were times, even in the church, where I was sharing with you how people in the church knew about the domestic violence, but they weren't readily available to assist with that. I do remember, as I was writing today, I remembered an occasion where our pastor at that time tried to do counseling for us. He called for counseling sessions for us, but my husband would never never go to those particular counseling sessions. But he did what he could do to reach out to us so that we could get the help that we needed. I just want you to understand when the Bible asks the rhetorical question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? There's nothing that's too hard for God. And I just want to encourage somebody who may be going through domestic violence and you're praying for God to help you and to assist you. There was a time in my life where my motto was pray away. I'm not in any wise trying to tell you to leave, but that was my motto because we separated a couple of times during the domestic violence period of my life. Things had gotten so bad and we separated. And while he was away, I would pray. You know, I would just pray and ask God that to use this time of our separation, God, to really, really begin to minister to him so that God could bring us back together. That was my prayer. You know, pray for him, you know, to intercede, to stand in the gap for him, and just begin to pray for him. And I just would admonish those of you to, you know, I speak. This is my own opinion. You know, if you find yourself in a position where you're separated from him, pray. And I'm talking about this from the aspect of a husband. I'm not talking about your boo thing. I'm not talking about, you know, this somebody that you just met. I'm talking about the prerequisite of the anointing that lays upon a husband and lays upon a wife. It's a different anointing. And that, you know, if it's just somebody that you just met and he's been violent and you're not married to him, by all means, take that as an opportunity to understand and to know this probably is not the person that God has for you. But it's a different set of rules for somebody who's married. And so I began to pray, pray away. And each time, there were several occasions where we found ourselves in a position of being separated before God delivered him, before God began to set him free from that volatile behavior. But I just want to encourage you, you know, to pray. Pray for your husband. Stand in intercession for him. That's the difference between Hope Alliance and any other counseling session because or any other facet of counseling because I believe that God can deliver. I believe that God can change the mindset. I believe that the demon of rage has to loose and let go, that it has no place nor authority over the children of light. That's my own personal belief. Amen. And so I just want to encourage you, whomever's listening, whomever is on this broadcast, whoever listening to this, I want to encourage you to be prayerful. Pray away. Pray away. Pray away. Pray away. And while God is doing what God is doing, escape into the Word. Get yourself in the Word of God. Go and buy the book, Lord, Change Me, by Evelyn Christensen. Go and buy the book, The Power of a Praying Wife, and by Stormy Martin. Buy the books. Begin to build yourself up and to know that as a wife, there is an anointing that resides in you as with none other. Amen. In the Word, in the book of Genesis, when God made Adam and Eve, he said Eve was to help me. She was to help me. She was placed in Adam's life to get him to the place that God would have for him as purpose. She was to help me. So there is an anointing. Hallelujah, that resides on the wife, that you can stand in the gap, that a family can be back in a wholesome and a healthy unit. That's possible, but it's something that has to be worked on. It's something that you're going to have to keep going to. I wanted to say also that deliverance, what I'm finding out in my years of studying, in my years of doing deliverance, is that deliverance is something that needs to be maintained, that you have to maintain your deliverance, that, you know, once you receive deliverance from God, and I'm saying this, you know, for a person who was battling the spirit of rage, you know, you still got to keep that house filled with the Word of God. You've got to keep that house filled with the Word of prayer because the scripture said that the very thing that you cast out, if it goes and finds that house empty, it wants to come back in. Are you with me? And so you've got to maintain your deliverance. And so I just want to encourage you that God is able to do. He can do it. We have the power and the authority. He says, behold, I give you power and I give you the authority. hallelujah, to tread on serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And so once you come into the knowledge of who you are and the authority that God has given you, you can walk in that authority. Amen. I wanted to share with you also the scripture in the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, the 61st chapter, verses 1 through 3, it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our Lord, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." And that's where I got the topic, battered beauty. In spite of what I've gone through, in spite of what looks like it was a tumultuous situation, God took that thing. He took the very thing that looked like it was going to take me in, and he began to put me on display of his splendor. He began to let me go around to those and encourage those to know that in spite of what you're going through, as far as domestic violence is concerned, that God can put you on display and let others know that I am more than able to save. I am more than able to set free. I am more than able to... He said, I'm going to take the spirit, instead of the spirit of despair, I'm going to give you a garment of praise. Instead of being broken down in your situation, instead of going into depression, instead of crying and saying, woe is me, God says, I'm going to give you a garment of praise. Hallelujah. Where you'll be able to look back at that thing and say, wow, God brought me through that. It was nothing but the Lord. Had it not been for the Lord who was on my side. Come on, somebody. And so, yes. And so as we begin the battered beauty, God began to do it. And though I got some you know, knocks, and though I got a little dent in my armor, it's okay. It didn't break me down to a point of breaking my spirit. Amen. That I'm in the word of one of my sisters in Christ, I'm a bounce back beauty. Hallelujah. I went through some stuff, but I bounced back. And now I have a testimony. I have a testimony of how God brought me out of that situation, you know, and that you too, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord. You too can come out of that situation, but you've got to begin to stand in the authority of God. There was also a time and a situation during my domestic violence that I went for counseling. And I've shared this in previous episodes. We had it at my job, an EAP program, which is called an Employee Assistance Program. And you could go and get so many weeks of free counseling. And one of my girlfriends encouraged me to go. I had initially made an appointment for myself and for my ex-husband. And, of course, when the time drew near for us to go, he was busy and he couldn't go. And my girlfriend encouraged me. She said, you go. You go for yourself. And I began to go to this counseling session and began to see some things that what was being triggered in me, and some habits and generational things that had been passed down in me, and talked about those things. And these things helped me to get a footing in my life. They helped me. They were strengthening me. That along with the word of God began to strengthen me, to let me know that I could do some things. You know, I never was in a situation where I was without work. Praise God. But I began to, even on my job, you know, begin to get better. Things were getting better for me. Things were looking up for me. And then there were also an instance where I went to a women's retreat. I can't even tell you what the name of the retreat was. Somebody encouraged me to go. And I was at this retreat, and it was during the worship experience. and I was crying before the Lord and just laying before God, and God began to do some things in me. He began to heal me in my woundedness, in my wounded spirit. God was healing me. I was still going through domestic violence, but this was, again, another escape mechanism that I found for myself. And I went back to my room, the girls who I had went with, we went back to the room. And a young lady came. She knocked on the door. She was also a part of the retreat. And she asked her, she said, "Can I come in?" She said, I need to minister to you. And she pointed to me. And I was like, "Oh, okay." And she was like, "You know, you don't know me." She said, "But God told me to share this song with you." And she began to play Yolanda Adams, "The Battle Is Not Yours, It's the Lord's." And when she played it, I just laid out in the floor and began to cry and sob before God, because only He had revealed to her that I was going through domestic violence. And the song just so encouraged me. It so encouraged me in the Lord. And I left there going back with a newfound surge, with a newfound energy that I can endure. You know what I'm saying? A newfound energy that I can do endure. I can make it through this particular situation in my life. And I just want somebody, again, I'm ministering to somebody. It doesn't matter what your walk of life. It doesn't matter your education. It doesn't matter your title in the church. You can be a bishop. You can be an apostle. It does not matter. That doesn't matter. What matters is God and God alone. Domestic violence, I told you, is an equal opportunity demon. Hello, somebody. And so we have to begin to understand that it's not because you don't have enough education. It's not because, you know, you're this, you're that, you're not pretty enough. All of the things that the enemy will try to tell you as to the reason why you're going through what you're going through. But I need for you to begin to understand that the very God that loves us, He has anointed you. He has anointed you. He has anointed you even in what you're going through right now. You're still anointed. Hello, somebody. The anointing of the Lord, what He gives to us, He doesn't take it back. God has never been an Indian giver. We are. But God is not an Indian giver. And so you have to begin to understand that He said that He will bestow you with a crown of beauty instead of ashes, that He'll give you the oil of joy instead of mourning, instead of sadness. God wants you to have joy. His word said that He came that we might have joy and that our joy might be full. Come on, somebody. And so God desires for you to have joy. He desires for that joy to be full, even in the situation that you may find yourself in right now. God, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So I just want to encourage you that He said that He's called, we will be called, they will be called the oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. And I'm told that oaks trees are very strong trees. They can persevere and take some stuff that others can't. So God said that He's going to call us oak trees of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. That you may not have a testimony right now. You may not want to let anybody know what you're going through right now, but I promise you there's going to become a point and a time in your life when you will be able to talk about that thing and you won't shed a tear. You will be able to talk about that thing and it'll bring a smile to your face. You will be able to talk about that thing and you will have a shout in your belly, because God has set you up to be on display. But not just on display, but to display His power, to display His glory, to display His righteousness, to display His strength that He brought you through. You are an oak. God has put you as an oak. You've been planted by the waters, planted by the waters, and you will bring forth your seed in due season. You will bring forth your fruit in due season. And this is your season. Hallelujah. This is your season. So again, I just want to encourage you in the Lord. I want you to know that God is able to do it. He can bring you through. In the book of Hebrews, the reason why Hope Alliance again was created was because I began to understand that what I have went through could be a blessing to somebody else. That even He took my hurt, He took my pain, And he began to allow me to minister to others, to get them to a place of knowing that God can do it. God can bring you out of your valley of despair. God can bring you out of the thing that you may be going through right now that's hurting you. And there are so many women who have crossed my path, who I've ministered to. There are so many young women who have crossed my path. And I'm praying that even God will begin to send those men or whomever, the batterers across my path, to understand that you don't have to be like that. You don't have to give in to that spirit of rage. Amen. But you can begin to cast it down. You don't have to succumb to what the enemy is trying to tell you to do. You don't have to be abusive. That God has made you. You too are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. And so I just want you to begin to understand what the Spirit of the Lord can do to you if you will but allow him. But you have to come in agreement with him. You have to begin to cast down your will and what you want and allow God to come in and be enlarged in you, enlarged to a place where he'll be ready to sit you on display and let others see what God has done through you. Is that not the one who was going through? Is that not the one who was going through? Hallelujah. But look at her now. Look at her leaves, how green they are. And then look at the fruit that's being produced. Hallelujah. Look at the fruit that's being produced. Hallelujah. From this tree. And so God desires to produce something in you. God desires to produce something in you. Again, remembering the word of God where he says, I know the thoughts I think towards you. And they're thoughts of good and not of evil. So you can stop beating yourself up. You can stop saying there's no way that God can use me because of what I'm going through. You can stop saying that, you know, there's no way God will ever be able to use me. And we bind the spirit of fear. We bind the spirit of fear of failure. You know, we bind the spirit of fear that would tell you that you locked into this thing and you'll never be able to be set free. We come against that now. We come against that gnawing fear. We come against that fear that holds you immobile to move. We bind that now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we just begin to release the hope. We begin to release the light of God in the name of Jesus Christ, that the light will shine forth and it will expand darkness, that darkness has to dissipate when light comes. So we call forth your light, that light of God that's resonating on the inside of you. We call it forth now in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for those who are listening, oh Lord God. I pray for those who are listening, God, and they're going through domestic violence and they don't know which way to turn. I pray for those, God, who are going through domestic violence, who have children, oh, Lord God, who are being subjected to some very, very harsh and very, very irrational things, God. I pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. I call forth Jehovah Shalom. I call forth Jehovah Shalom, that he would begin to make himself known in their lives in the name of Jesus Christ, oh Lord God. We call on Jehovah Azir, oh Lord God, the Lord God, our help, oh Lord God, that he would begin to come in and begin to help them, oh Lord God, through this situation and through this circumstance, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh Lord God. Father God, we just thank you, oh Lord God, that you said that you would lead us beside still waters and that you would restore our soul, oh God. So we pray now, God, that somebody's soul will be restored, oh, Lord God. Somebody's wounds, oh, God, that you will begin to cover, oh, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. God, you said that you are El Shaddai, oh, Lord God. You are the all-sufficient one, oh, God. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, we pray now, God, that they will have all sufficiency in all things and that they will abound to every good work, oh, Lord God. We call on El Shaddai, oh, Lord God. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Make yourself known to them in a more perfect way, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Help them to understand what it means when you said that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, oh Lord God. Help them to know that right well, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh Father. So we just praise you, oh Lord God, and we just bless your holy and your divine name the more and the more, oh Lord God. So we lift you up, oh God. We lift you up round about our enemies. We lift you up in the name of the Lord. We lift you up, God, in the name of Jesus. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and they fell. In the name of Jesus, we speak to that spirit of rage and we command you to stumble and fall. Now, stumble and be gone now in the name of Jesus Christ. So we love you, God, and we honor you the more and the more and the more. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray. And we count this prayer as done by faith. It is so. And so it is in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen and amen. I wanted to share with you a little bit about Hope Alliance. Hope Alliance, again, is an acronym for Healing Opportunities Proposed for Everyone. And I understood, and as I came out and began to want to minister into this area, I realized that it's not just the victim who's affected. And then I realized that even when we minister just the victim, the abuser is still, he moves on to the next person. If there are children involved, they grow up, and of course, statistics. And so I begin to understand that there needed to be something or somewhere, someone out there who ministered to everyone, who ministered to the whole core of domestic violence. And in that, so we wanted to minister to the abused, to effectuate safety measures and follow through. We want to assist in finding a safe haven. We want to walk them through obtaining an order of protection if necessary. We want to assist them with cost if it's too much involved. And we want the ultimate goal to be for them to find peace and security and knowing that someone cares, giving them the self-worth of a victor and not a victim. We wanted to minister for the abuser. We want to assist in getting counseling for anger management, getting to the root source of the volatile behavior, teaching techniques that will bring about appropriate resolve for anger before it erupts into verbal or physical violence. This includes detecting alcohol or drug abuse and establishing preventative resources to become a vigilant asset to the family. It is attainable for you. And then for the bruised, we will assist in regaining a sense of worth and a peaceful environment for your children, taking the broken trust and rebuilding to establish a well-rounded individual. This is especially imperative for boys over the age of 10 because of those statistics that say those boys will more than likely become abusers, ensuring an optimistic future for an otherwise dismal prognosis is first and foremost at Hope Alliance. Family members of those who are abused feel useless and sometimes frustrated, and we will host workshops and support groups to gain insight on how to help loved ones who find themselves in domestic violence. Breaking the silence of abuse, one family at a time, is the passion of Hope Alliance, Inc. Amen. And so those are the things that God gave me when I first formed Hope Alliance. And again, my desire is to come into churches, to do workshops, to minister to on your youth day, to call us in so that we can, again, do workshops for young ladies, for young men, to begin to become knowledgeable of what domestic violence is and understand that domestic violence has no place. Again, talking about the silent cry in the pew, the silent cry in the pews. We want to begin to answer that silent cry in the pew in an effective way so that we can eradicate domestic violence from our society. And that's going to happen one family at a time. But it can be done because all things are possible if we believe Amen. And I believe that God can do it. I believe that God cannot fail. Amen. And so if you want to believe with me, definitely we want you to continue praying for us, continue praying for Hope Alliance. Those of you that want to get in touch with us, please visit our website, www.hopealliancinc.com. www.hopealliancinc.com. You're more than welcome to call us, healing@hopealliancinc.com. Email us, like us on Facebook. We have Hope Alliance Inc. on Facebook, and we would love if you would like our page. Also, we'll be putting this segment on our page as well. Share it with somebody. If this testimony can be a helper, an assistance to somebody who's going through domestic violence and help them to realize that there is hope. There is hope, amen, and that God can do the exceedingly, the abundantly, and the above all they can think, imagine, dream, or even conjure up. So we do so appreciate you joining us on tonight for this segment of Hope Alliance, Inc., and we just would love for you to, again, like our page, get in touch with us. If you have any questions, if you need us to come again to do handle some type of workshop or something that we can do for your women's retreat, you're looking for somebody to come in and to begin to talk about domestic violence, please reach out to us. We would be more than happy to come and give that assistance. Anything else that you can think of, again, your youth conferences, anything else you can think of where we can meet a need, please reach out to us. We would so look so forward in coming and being that help, being that assistance to you. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Breaking the Silence, and I hope that my testimony, Battered Beauty, my story, my testimony has been a blessing unto you. Again, share it with whomever you need to share it. Thank you so much again. And until next week, may God's greatest and may God's best be yours. Good night, everyone.